the Canucks, they haven't blown up their front office yet, as many were predicting yesterday.
No, it was a touchdown yesterday, so that was good. I mean, look, you knew the Canucks were going to have an effort of that, you know, caliber. And then, you know, it's credit to them. They played well. I mean, the top line didn't really do anything or nothing at all. But it was the bottom six guys. It was the Tyler Motts and obviously Mr. Foundation, Brandon Sutter. And it was all these types of players that were putting their team on their backs. And I think that, for the most part, Reach, I saw what you tweeted last night. That was a good goaltending performance from Thatcher Demko. And I think that of everything that happened in that game, what you can take into it is that, you know, that was a very, very solid professional performance from Thatcher Demko.
Yeah, and solid goaltending can fix a lot of things. And again, it's not that Holtby or Demmer were terrible. The team in front of them was terrible for a lot of these losses this year. So it's hard to pin it on the goalie, but they just missed that big save in a big moment, you know? And I felt like when he made the stop on Connor Brown towards the end of the first, it settled the team a little bit more to the point where, you know, you're not worrying about every mistake you might make.
Cause it's going to end up in the back of your net.
Exactly. Right. And they just needed that from Demko.
Yeah, and they got it. Look, I do believe that too. You know, that save on Connor Brown, he made a couple saves, you know, when Ottawa had power plays as well. So he looked solid, and I know that, you know, they weren't happy, and I know he wasn't happy after the game or after, you know, all the losing that they've had. And he said, you know, enough is enough. And I think this was the type of performance that they needed from Thatcher Demko. You know, he said that he didn't want to be a guy that loses hockey games. He doesn't want to be that guy. So, you know, if he can put up a consistent performance, but not only him, the rest of that team tomorrow evening here in Vancouver, I think they can kind of hang their hats on something here.
Well, plenty of good things coming out of that game. Nils Höglander, another storyline that just seems to get better. And we know the team has struggled at certain points this year, but that first line may not be producing, but what you're getting from the wings from him, Irv, how surprised are you that he's bringing it almost every single night? It doesn't happen that quickly for a second-round pick in their first, you know, NHL year.
Yeah, I agree with what Travis said, because they were worried about his play defensively before the season started and having him up there, because they like giving Bo the matchups to the other team's top line. So Nilsson's been good. Like, he's been solid. And, you know, I heard you guys talking about not having to talk about, you know, Jake Virtanen in the top six role, or when's he going to crack, you know, one of the two top lines. But Höglander's done a really, really good job of, you know, being a solid NHL player right now. And that is only a handful of games into his NHL career. So credit to him, because he's putting the work. He's doing really well. And, you know, we fans love the Superman punch from Kevin Bieksa. But I think if the Superman, you know, pass is doing anything for Nils Höglander to putting pucks in the back of the net, I think it's a good thing.
So thinking back to yesterday, you know, we were kind of like, it did feel like a little bit of hyperbole, how much talk was going into the game about changes coming if this week goes poorly. You know, what's the real story behind some of the conversations we're having yesterday? Is it just, you know, constant pressure on Jim Benning and this management group to build off of last season?
Yeah, I think when you have success, and I think there's a certain expectation that was had within the fan base and within the organization as to how they were going to come out and the type of game that they were going to play heading into this season. You know, we saw the promise in the bubble with Pettersson and Horvat and Hughes and everyone doing what they did to get to where they were, obviously being eliminated by Vegas. But then you go into this season and, you know what, some of those guys aren't there. And I know we keep talking about it, and it's unfortunate, but, like, let me say this, you know, we talked about it a lot. Chris Tanev is not a guy that is here, and it's, you know, him not turning the puck over. Just because he's not here, that doesn't mean stuff like that's happening. You can't blame, you know, stuff because they let Tanev walk. You can't blame Nate Schmidt turning a puck over because Tanev walked. Or you can't blame someone there because Jacob Markstrom isn't there to make a save. You know, Markstrom was never staying in Vancouver. I think that should be known right out there. And Chris Tanev got his money. Good for him. Absolutely good for him. And the Tyler Toffoli thing, yes, you can kind of argue that one a bit in Josh Nebo, but say you sign Tyler Toffoli to a contract, and you don't know if you get Nils Höglander in that role. So I think that there's a lot of things that need to be taken into consideration here when looking at this team. And obviously there's a lot of pressure. With success comes pressure, and I think that that's the biggest thing. But for this fan base, I think that if you take a long, hard look at this team right now, they are exactly what they are on paper. And you know what? They got off to a slow start. The thing that worries me right now the most is, when are we going to see the best of Elias Pettersson?
Mm-hmm. And that's really the next question I wanted to ask you. When you look at the lotto line and the way it's playing right now, what's the biggest issue right now? Because it's not only Pettersson. You saw JT Miller's frustration last night, too.
Yeah. I mean, and you've seen his frustration mounting for quite some time with JT Miller. I mean, look, the guy's an emotional player. He's an emotional guy. He hates losing. He's a fierce competitor. And I think that, you know, I think a little bit of it is he's trying to get Elias Pettersson going. You know, they're line mates. They obviously chat. They know what's going on and stuff like that. But, you know, it's something that maybe they got to change something in the lineup. Maybe you put Brock Besser up with Horvat and you put Nils Höglander with that top line just to maybe try and interject some a different look on that line. You know, I mean, look, I like the way that, you know, the lines are shaped right now, but if this keeps happening and they're not scoring and getting points, Travis is going to have to break it up at some point.
You know, Travis took Petey aside today at practice. You know, he's tried to deflect as much criticism as possible away from that top line. It does come down to Petey, though, and you know, we see it in the way that he's passing up shots on the power play. I don't know where his confidence has gone, but he just doesn't have it right now. And I think until he finds it, that's going to be where he struggles. He needs a couple of breaks to go his way, I think.
Yeah. I mean, look, sometimes just seeing the puck go into the net is as simple as that. Empty net goal goes off someone's shin pad or someone's, you know, forearm, or it just goes in somehow for him. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things that he needs. But, like, man, just watching him last night, a lot, like, his body language isn't there. It's just, I don't know. I don't know him personally that well. I think that, you know, confidence is very much so lacking, and it's evident in his game. And, you know, yes, Travis Green did have a word with him, and I'm sure some of his teammates have had words with him too. But at the end of it, there's nobody that's going to get themselves out of a situation except for the player themselves. So, Elias Pettersson needs to change it up if he's superstitious, put the left skate on first instead of the right skate, or tape his stick a little bit differently, or I don't know what he does, you know, before games. Maybe change it up a little bit to try and get himself going here. And hopefully it happens sooner than later for this team.
Irfan Gafar, our guest here on Reach Deep. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the agent switch and what it potentially means for the contract negotiations of both Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes. What's your read on Petey changing agents?
I mean, is anyone really surprised that he went to one of the big boys?
No.
Like, I don't think that anyone – I don't think that this should come as a shock at all, to be completely honest. Elias Pettersson is going to get paid a lot of money. And, you know, he's going to an agency in CAA where they have had a track record of getting their top guys a lot of money and some pretty good contracts. And, you know, it just so happens that one of his good friends and a guy that also needs a contract this upcoming season, and Quinn Hughes also plays for the Vancouver Canucks. So it'll be interesting to see how that contract negotiation goes out, because CAA, and, you know, we know how Papasan works and stuff like that. I think that it's going to be a situation where the offer is going to come from somewhere one way or the other, and it's going to be, okay, this is our number, come back to us when you're ready. And it's a negotiation that's going to happen. Look, I don't see a holdout or any type of thing like that happening, because you want your superstars there, but the Canucks have a lot of work to do this offseason in making their cap be able to have that happen. Because what are they? At least $16 million you're going to need for the both of them, maybe a little bit more, right? I'm just ballparking here, just between the two of them. So I'm not at all surprised he switched agents. It's probably a good thing for him, too, because he knows he's going to get paid. But that negotiation with those two players might be the biggest, if not the biggest, heading into this offseason.
Absolutely, and it takes away, you know, the idea that there will be a discount, because they have two separate agents. Not anymore. They're going to be kind of bargaining as a team in a way here, so we'll see what happens. A quick question. Brandon Sutter has, you know, a great game last night, first career hat trick. But from an Adam Gaudette perspective, and the way he's been used the last couple of years, he is 24 years old. He's not a young guy per se anymore. Where is he at this point in his career?
If at 24, you can't seem to find yourself in an NHL lineup on a night-in and night-out basis, I think you got to take a hard look at me. Like, has Adam Gaudette done anything to impress either of us right now this season?
No. Nope.
There you go. There's the simple answer. Right? And I mean, and we're just saying, and we just watch the games. Imagine the coaching staff and the video that they go through and everything that goes on with them in order to get guys ready for games. And it might just be something on that's on Adam Gaudette. You know, you got to get yourself ready. You got to go out and you got to produce. And if by the age of 24, if someone told me this before, if you're not an everyday NHLer where you can't find yourself in the lineup, then, you know, you might find yourself in the American League pretty quick.
Yeah, it's a tough spot right now that Adam Gaudette finds himself in.
And it sucks for him, right? Because, yeah. Look, he obviously wants to play. He wants to be in the NHL. But, look, you have guys like Brandon Sutter killing penalties and doing things like that. And I know Adam Gaudette said that he wanted to do it. He wanted to do everything he could to find himself in the lineup. But right now, I mean, after the result last night, I can't imagine Travis changes anything tomorrow.
Irf, appreciate your time as always, man. We'll talk soon.
Randy, you should do the one chip challenge, but like get the hot, hot, hot pizza and then put the chip on the pizza.
Oh, no, no.
From Supreme.
No.
Okay, one step at a time, Irf. Yeah. I'm with you. I like the way you're thinking, but let me do the chip first.
All right.
Yeah, I'll be all right, right?
Yeah. No, he won't. Man. No, he won't.
Come on, I was looking for that boost of confidence, Irf.
I don't know, man. You might just have some heat before you eat it just to warm yourself up for a week.
That's a good point.
Thanks, Irf.
All right, boys. Be well.